Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Ginger Sanders. Did I pronounce that right?
You did. Thank you, Rose. It's good to be here with you today.
We're going to talk about two of your books, but I'd first like to introduce you to her. She has served as a chaplain coordinator for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's Rapid Response Team, and was in banking. She never thought she'd be an author, but now she is the author of three books, including He Goes Before Us, which details her experience with the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, and two children's books. One is called Round Eyes and the other one Fireflies. So we're going to talk about those two. In addition to all of her endeavors, Sanders is a popular speaker and teacher at women's conferences, youth conferences, retreats, and professional events. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. That sounds like way too busy of a person to me.
It does, too. I'm already exhausted, but maybe you were ADD when you were a little girl.
No, actually, I was the quiet little girl on the back of the school bus. And so what I'm doing now is just all for God. It's His stories that pop up. And one thing that we often forget is we serve a living God.
Amen.
He is still the same God that was with Moses and Abraham and Isaac. And He's still working in people's lives today. And when I see that, I get excited about it. And so those are stories, and He Goes Before Us is actually 31 faith-based stories of where we have seen things out in the mission field where God, only God, could have orchestrated them.
So a rapid response team, how did you get involved with that?
Well, my husband was in law enforcement in the secular world. And I, being in banking, taught at the police academy, taught financial fraud. After we retired, which God allowed us to retire fairly young, my husband's company got bought out, and we were able to retire. And one day I was sitting at home doing my daily devotional on the BillyGraham.org website. And when I opened it up across the front of the screen, it said, chaplains needed with law enforcement or firefighters background.
Wow.
They were looking for someone that knew when to step up or step back to be there for not only the victims, but also for the first responders that were working the scenes. So my husband, I asked him, I said, would you be interested in being a chaplain with Billy Graham team, which we had already been trained as counselors when he had come to Cincinnati at that time. And he said, sure. And we're thinking 2 or 3 weeks out of the year. Well, I think in 2011, we were home 12 weeks.
Wow.
Because the earthquake in Haiti, then the tornadoes in Alabama, and then Joplin, the shooting at Aurora Theater, the fires in Colorado. And so it was just one thing, a constant time that we were deployed.
Do you think that calamities are happening more frequently?
Well, I don't know that. Maybe man-made, such as the shootings. I think those are because we hear of shootings and so much going on. But I this is my personal belief, is that Satan is aware that God's presence is still on this earth. And I think things are happening more often, but it also gives us as Christians the opportunity to be there to show the love of Christ.
So you were actually ministering to those who were ministering?
Yes. And that's how the Rapid Response Chaplains came about, is 9/11 happened. And Franklin Graham, with the Billy Graham Association, goes to Ground Zero. And he saw the hurting pastors and the leadership of the churches being just devastated.
Yeah,
their congregations were hurting. Their own families had been hurt or injured or maybe even killed in that, their neighborhoods, their community, and they were hurting themselves. And Franklin came back and he tells the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, he met with the board and he said, we need to rise up a team of chaplains that can go out in the name of Jesus, be trained, be ready to hit the ground, just showing the love of Christ. And this just gives me chills how God planted that seed in his heart using a disaster.
Yeah.
And so we, Samaritan's Purse has a disaster relief team that goes out, and we oftentimes follow with them with the hurricanes, tornadoes, floods. But oftentimes they go out when there's man-made devastation, such as shootings and terrorist attacks. And we're going more international now as well as here in home.
So your book, He goes Before Me.
He goes before us.
He goes before us.
And that's based on Deuteronomy 31:8, where it says, do not be afraid. He will go before you.
And our listeners can go to your website, gingersanders.com, or they can go to amazon.com.
That is right. Or you can go to any bookstore. Some bookstores have it on the shelves. And if they don't have it, you can ask them to order it. They can do that. It is available out there, but Amazon has it. Or you can get it if you want a signed copy. I can sign it and mail it to them.
When he goes before us, does every story have that element where you can see God was, you know, putting a team of people in place that would know just how to minister to those people?
Yes, every story. And I will say this. We may be called into an area for a disaster or a storm. But oftentimes when the chaplains get there, there is already storms going on in people's lives before the physical storm takes place.
Yes.
And we have seen people who have just lost a loved one, or maybe a loved one is very sick and passes away while we're there. And we're able to be there for that family for that particular time.
Yes.
So oftentimes that happens.
So I can't help but ask, how did this experience or each experience change you? Because the experiences change the person too that's writing about them. Or
it does, and that's why the book came about. I said I wasn't an author. I was journaling because that was my way of debriefing myself. Every night I would go home and I would journal, and I would just write down what had happened during the day. And I guess that started when we were in Haiti, because we were down there and you just can't talk to everybody. There's no friends or church family there. And so I started journaling. And as I started looking back at the stories, I saw God on every page. And I knew then people needed to hear this. And so it was hard to choose just 31 stories. But we could see God. And in the book, there's stories of Sandy Hook Elementary School. We were in Toms River, New Jersey because of Hurricane Sandy. And we were called, and God wasn't surprised by Sandy Hook. He had chaplains in place. We had chaplains on Long Island, New York, and we were in New Jersey. And we got a call, go to Sandy Hook Elementary School. And you know, God was already there. One lady came, and she had driven 2 hours away. She said, I saw it on TV, and I just couldn't believe that this had happened. I had to come and see for myself. And I don't know about death. And at the memorial site, we were able to just let her know that God can give you hope through the blood of Jesus. And and she said, how can I know? And that lady prayed to receive Christ. So we never know when something is going to happen. We had not planned on going to Sandy Hook Elementary School, but God knew. He was not surprised.
Yes, I mean, it's so horrific. Those kinds of things, you can't even comprehend how someone can do that.
Well, Romans 8:28 comes to play in our situations often, that good things can come out of bad. And that's what we lean on, is the word of God.
And I suppose that you at some point are really working against fear, because, you know, the enemy wants us to be fearful and God wants us to be faithful. How do you answer that fear?
We are taught, and you have to be trained to do a lot of things, what to say and what not to say. But as a Christian, as we mature and we grow in our walk with Christ, and none of us are ever going to reach that until we
move on.
But if we stay in His Word and stay on our knees in prayers, He will strengthen us. And we count on that, and we have to trust that, and that He will be with us. And that's how fireflies came about.
So let's take a break, and then when we come back, let's talk about fireflies.
That sounds wonderful.
I love fireflies. Okay. I'm talking with Ginger Sanders about her experience on the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's Rapid Response Team, and I'll be right back.
Gonna get through this jungle.
I don't know.
Bobby, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Bobby, let me see.
This strap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, an I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I come to you each week through the programs of Education Currents and Homeschool Companion, and I'm so blessed to be part of MRG Media Radio Ministry, and I'm giving you the opportunity to be part of it too. We can't stay on the air without your financial support, so take a moment right now during our fundraiser to call you with a gift of any size. As a token of my appreciation for your gift, I have a gift for you, so be sure you call. And my gifts consist of books from different guests that I've had on the show and different topics that I've done. And I also have some books that I've written that I've autographed for you. So be sure and call us, 301-824-3162. That's 301-824-3162. Or write to MRG Media at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. That's P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783. Welcome back. My guest today is Ginger Sanders, and we've just been discussing some of the really miraculous ways God has used her and her husband on the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's Rapid Response Team. And I'll just refer to it as the Rapid Response Team.
Yes.
But you can learn more if you go to her website, gingersanders.com. It's all spelled like normal, Ginger Sanders. And I promised you that we would talk about fireflies. Fireflies. I'm looking at the book. It has little children on the front. And, of course, they're chasing fireflies. And who doesn't love fireflies? So tell me a little bit about what prompted you to write this children's book, which I'm informed is nominated for an award.
Yes, it's up for the Children's Book Award Book of the Year with the Christian Small Publishers Association.
Fantastic.
So, actually, Fireflies is a book written to how to explain death to a child, to shine the light of God so that others can see that there is hope.
Yes.
And we had just gotten ready to prepare ourselves to go to the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center, for training. And some of the classes that they listed we had already had, and the only one open was application with children. And I have to be very honest, all of you out there will understand when I say I can deal with teenagers and adults, but after 2 days with children, I would start twitching. But the lady on the other end of the phone said, well, Ginger, you know, there's children in every disaster.
There is.
And that sort of struck a bell with me because I had always thought, well, other people can take care of the children. So we go to this class, and I thought, well, you know, it's a good class, but it just really is not for me. We were home in our own community, in our little hometown, 3 days when a little boy had an incident and was killed, two-year-old little boy. His family were at home. Neighbors came in. Everybody came in, loving on the mommy and daddy, loving on the grandparents. And there was a five-year-old brother that was just sort of standing back watching what was going on. And that class came to my mind. That little boy needed someone.
Yes.
And I became his best friend. I asked him, I said, well, let's just go in the bedroom and watch a movie. And so we go in the bedroom and put on a children's movie, and we sit on his mommy and daddy's bed. And he would ask me, why are these people here? And I would just say, well, why do you think? And the main thing people ask me, how do you talk to a child? Be very honest with them.
Yeah.
Don't skip around the bush. Be very truthful at what is going on. Be very honest. You don't have to go into a big detail. And he said, well, I think they're here because Trevor's gone to heaven. And I go, well, yes, he's not here anymore. And so we would talk a little bit about this, and he would just ask questions, and you just need to be very honest.
Yes.
And this book came about because of that. He was getting ready to go to the funeral home that night, and he said, hey, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see Trevor. And when I questioned that, I said, well, when you get back, we'll talk. Because how do you explain to a child? And yeah. I had to pray very diligently to God to help me find an answer. And through this book, God gave me the story, and that's where the story for the book came from.
It is a blessed hope that the adults around the children need to have that hope. I mean, they can still be crying and missing and grieving, but there needs to be that undergirding of the blessed hope.
Right. And if you'll notice in the book, when you're going through the book, it's a beautifully illustrated book.
It is.
Tracy Applewhite Broom illustrated it. And there, when the mommy and daddy are talking to the little brother, telling him that their little brother has died, the background is hats on the wall. And the caption on the hats, one has the letter W, and another one has H, and the other one has Y. And so right behind his head is Y.
Yeah.
And then a few pages over, the lady is talking to him and sharing with him about his little brother.
Yeah.
And the questions are answered, and the hats turn to hope.
Oh, cool.
And so, you know, that's where you have to draw the line from why to hope. And I think we as adults have the same questions.
Right. And I think that we haven't recognized how to relate to children in their grieving process.
Right.
My little grandson lost his friend at school. Just a tragic thing, you know, just... they were out on a hayride, and his little friend playing with a stick, and the wheel caught the stick and pulled him under, and there
just,
he was
It just
gone,
happens.
You know? And so, and Mitchell's five. So now he's boo-hooing and crying over broken cookies. I'm going to get all emotional. My listeners know I do this. And so I said, you know, someone needs to minister to him.
That's right.
He doesn't understand. And I appreciate this book. And I appreciate anybody who knows how to help the little child.
Well, we as adults have a hard time understanding death. And so that's why we don't share with the children. And so I hope this little book will help. But we have our deputies in my hometown. We are also, our sheriff found out we were trained chaplains, so he has pulled us in.
Yeah,
we're
so
now chaplains with the sheriff's department
duty,
as well.
Right.
So when we're home for a little refreshment from our church and getting loved on, we get called out. But
it's not going to get better.
No.
Really, time is running short.
Well, there's evil in this world.
And
evil and sickness and disease and death is all going to be here until Jesus comes back. And the deputy told me, he said, I wish I'd had this book for myself 3 years ago when my own grandfather died. He said, because I was devastated. He was very close to his grandfather.
Yes.
And he said, I can remember going fishing with my grandfather. And he said, if somebody had explained it as simply as you did in this book, he said, how to understand what death is all about.
It's, you know, it's yay, though I walk through the valley the shadow of death. It's just a shadow.
It doesn't linger on because we have that hope. We can have that hope through the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the back of the book, I have a page, How to Lead a Child to Christ.
Notice the great resource in the back of these.
Book. I've had a couple of churches, when the first book was first published, the whole book is copyrighted. And I had a couple of churches contact me, and they asked me, we would like you to release the copyright so we could copy this and put it in our children's ministry area so that the children's leaders could use it. Well, and so I had the publisher release that page.
Oh, that's
and
wonderful.
At the bottom, I give my permission for anyone to copy it.
Amen.
And then, because it's not about me, it's about God.
That's right.
And then the page before is a memory page where you can actually paste the picture of your loved one that died for the children and let them write a memory.
Amen.
And so the book is very... it can be used for any incident, or whether it's a grandparent that passes away or a sibling, aunt or uncle. It's very appropriate for all.
So you have these. Now we need to talk about what lies ahead for you in the future. I know you're going to say, well, only God knows maybe, but I'm sure that you already have God prompting you about certain things. So we want to hear about that.
Well, I have been busy speaking. My husband had a motorcycle wreck a couple of years ago, and he had head trauma. So that slowed us down just a little bit. But God has continued to focus our path and our walk with him. And I'm not sure where it's leading, but we just keep praying to him just to stay in our world and keep us going. And
I mean, you could even write about your husband's experience.
God is still very active in our lives.
Yes.
And I'm not sure. I do speak, and I've got appointments April and May. A lot of ladies like to have their little spring luncheons and retreats. And so God is focusing me on some of that and sharing some of these stories.
And do you still continue to work with the rapid response team?
Well, they won't let us retire.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I was with them this morning at the breakfast, and our lead man, and we have tried to turn our shirts in, and he says, oh, you just keep them. We may need you.
Yes,
so.
Unfortunately, yes. You know, unfortunately, till the day you go to sleep in Jesus, he has a job for you on this earth.
You can't retire from being a child of God.
That's right.
And I'm so thankful of that.
Amen. That's a good statement. No one has said that yet to me, but it's so true. You cannot retire from being a child of God.
Well, I was in church the other day, and the pastor was teaching a group, and he was talking about the adoption into the family of God. And we have two international adopted children and two biological children. And I told him, I said, it was sort of like when we adopted our children into our family, they became American citizens. And that seal was put on their citizenship paper. And that's the way it is when we're adopted and we accept Jesus Christ. We're adopted into the family of God, and the blood of Jesus seals that.
Amen.
So no one can take it off.
What a way to conclude the show. Thank you so much, Ginger, for being with us. And I hope everyone goes to your website, gingersanders.com. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.